Afternoon, everybody. Hope everybody had a good weekend. Got some rest. Had a great weekend. Spent some time with the boys. Did a lot of stuff we haven't been able to do, and it's good. It was good just to relax a little bit. Watch some football on Sunday, which I don't get many chances to do that either, except our games. So it was nice, but it's good to be back in, and we're moving forward on Kansas City. It's nice to have a little bit extra time here, especially in the early part of the day, to really focus on them. And staff has been working on that, and we'll keep moving forward with that. And the other thing that we've been able to do is go back and look at a little bit more of our games since the bye, and spend some extra time. Didn't really have a lot of time to analyze San Diego, but took some of the extra time here to do that as well. So I think it's been productive, and continue to be productive here tonight and through tomorrow. So with that, open up to questions.
Eric, we were talking to Joe Thomas on whatever day that was, last week, Friday, and he said he believes that Josh Cribbs could be a productive back in the NFL, running back exclusively. And I know you kind of use him in that role now, though. Have you thought about using him in that spot?
Well, to some degree, he does that, and a lot of the reads that he has from the position that he has are really based off of core runs in our system. It's just you gain an extra blocker by him being in the quarterback spot that you wouldn't normally have. So it's a little different that way. One of the things that Josh does really well is improvises, and starting in the quarterback position with that kind of depth gives you a little bit more chance to do that. As a traditional running back, wouldn't be something I'd be opposed to. I've liked the role that he has now, but that's definitely something that we could continue to explore and figure out more ways. I think there's some merit to getting in multiple receiver groups, being able to motion him back into the backfield and use him as a running back that way. So it could look like you're going to go, say you had a tight end, four wide receivers, no running back in, and run plays from that set, and then bring him back in and run 11 personnel plays, so three wide receivers, one tight end, one running back, with him being the running back. We did a little bit of that with Brad Smith in New York, so definitely something to look at.
You can't say you haven't tried to use him because he's had more opportunities on offense than ever before. But still, do you find yourself saying, even at that, are we using him enough?
Well, he gets a lot of plays between the plays that he gets either at receiver or in the Wildcat, and then you combine that with the opportunities he has as a returner and as a cover player. It's a significant amount of play time when you look at all those plays combined. So what you don't want to do, too, is use him so much that it now becomes almost the law of diminishing returns, and you're always trying to strike that balance. The plays that he can produce as a returner are so explosive, you'd hate to have drop-off there. So it is a case of trying to find the right balance.
Playing like you did on Thursday, would you like to have just gotten right back into it? You know, you had some, or the 10 days off, does that, slow that momentum a little bit? Or?
No, it's such a short week coming off the San Diego game, going right into a game like we had against Pittsburgh, and both physical games. It's hard. It's hard on the guys. It's hard physically and mentally. So I think it's good to be able to take a step back, get recharged, come back in. One of the nice things from both those experiences, again, we're taking steps forward in terms of not just the scheme, not just the practical components of it, but learning how to deal with adversity, learning how to deal with different challenges that come up within a game. For some of the rookies, the long season, there's a lot of lessons that we've made some strides in that aren't directly related just to the scheme, and there's some value in being able to take a step back, catch your breath, and move back into it.
Can you talk about the importance of finishing out strong, keep win these last three games?
Yeah, it's we've to me it's more the importance of progress and something that's been talked about, something that's been sometimes more apparent than others. I think one of the things that you can look at Thursday night's game and be pleased with is there was the complementary football that we've talked about, being able to run the ball effectively on offense against a very good run defense, being able to do some things defensively like stop the run. It's two games in a row now we've had under 100 yards rushing, apply some pressure defensively, and it goes back to kind of what we talked about in training camp where the sacks aren't necessarily going to come from one person. It's going to come from a variety of different people based on the scheme, based on the protection, based on us being able to get the pressure correct. And those are all things I'm looking for.
Yes, and as a follow-up, how would you measure the progress that you have made since the start of this season? Because you talked about looking beyond the record when we talked about
that. Well, there's a lot of areas to look at. There's, you know, things like penalties. And we've made huge strides from where we were last year to this year. I think we've done a much better job protecting the football. We've talked about third down conversions offensively throughout the course of the year. We've improved there. I think defensively done a better job really being able to put in a weekly game plan, understand the game plan, and then go execute the game plan. Sometimes you get a little overzealous initially and you put in too much and it's not as effective as it should be. And then you pull back and as you start getting used to that style, that approach, you can continue to add a little bit more. And I think we're making some progress there. Knowing how to study your opponent, knowing how to deal with a week of preparation. All these young guys, it's totally different than college. And they're trying different things, and they're trying different ways to be at their best physically, be at their best from an energy standpoint. And some of that stuff is learned. So there's a lot of areas like that. Understanding the personnel and the best ways to use the personnel. I think we've made some strides there. Understanding each other, the relationships that have built within the locker room. I think those have been positive. So there's a lot of different areas. The way to practice, the right ways to practice, mistakes that you can make in your week of preparation. So each time you get a chance to play, each time you get a chance to look at the week before, you hopefully draw on something. The group gets it, and the next week you're a little bit better at it.
How did Brandon McDonald play Thursday, and how has he handled starting to the bench, back to starting?
Well, I think he's handled it well, and Rob and Jerome sat down with him last week and talked to him about it and the importance of being able to address the areas that we wanted him to address, and I thought he responded well to it. And the nice thing for anybody who's here is each week you have the opportunity to change your status, and that's real. And he sees it's real. All the guys see it's real, and it's important that they understand that because you're not in a hole that you can't get out of. You're not in a situation that you can't change by improving certain areas.
Did his struggles during some of the games carry over to practice?
No, I think what you do whenever you're struggling is try to really emphasize those things in practice, really isolate them. And it's hard to go out and work on something you're not very good at because it's uncomfortable. You're not going to look as good as you want to look during the course of practice, but as a coaching staff, we get that. And without identifying those things and having a deliberate plan to fix it, it never gets any better. So we're always encouraging guys to, whether it's your hand placement, whether it's your footwork as an offensive lineman, or maybe it's speed to power as a pass rusher. That's something you're not good at, and you're working at it. We get that, and it'll get better, and you want to see that as a coaching staff. Because the easy thing is always to go out and do the stuff you're good at, but it doesn't help.
Was there one particular thing that he was really struggling with?
There are a couple different areas, and he, believe me, he's not alone. We try to be very upfront with any areas we think can be improved, so the guys have a chance to always constantly address those things.
Do you feel like you need these last three games to really get the proper evaluation on Brady Quinn to see if he can be your quarterback going forward, or do you think you have enough of a body of work at this point to make that decision?
I think the last three games are important for everybody. I really do, and just like we talked about in the last question, it's okay. What are areas that need to be worked on? What can we improve? How can we? What is our plan to do that? Going, work on that in practice, and then seeing it show up in the games. And I really liked the way that Brady's protected the football. I like the way that he's run the offense, and that's not easy to do. It's not easy to run a no-huddle offense with shifting and motioning and multiple personnel groups against a lot of different defensive schemes, which we've seen out of San Diego, Pittsburgh. They've got a lot of looks, and you have to have a real control of the offense to do that, and he's done a good job with that.
Since he has done such a good job with the no-huddle offense, do you think that as, you know, Evan Moore gets a little bit more experience, some of these other younger guys going forward, you know, maybe into next year, do you think that do you see that Brady Quinn can be your guy?
Well, again, Mary Kay, we're going to look at the whole body of work and all the different things for, and not just for Brady, but for the group, and see where we are and assess it at that point, as opposed to doing it right now.
How do you improve his accuracy? How do you get a quarterback to throw the ball where it's supposed to be more often?
Well, I think there's been some really, really outstanding plays in terms of accuracy, and there's a lot of different ways to look at it, and you look at all of them. Some of it is a function of just throwing it, as opposed to, I think you can get at times into that pattern of you want it to go to a certain spot so badly that you're almost pushing the ball, as opposed to just throwing the ball, and that comes with comfort, and there's been times where I think he's thrown some incredibly accurate balls, and some times where he's missed. And again, we'll go through and look at the types of throws, each of the different types of throws, and see if there is anything inconsistent with one throw versus another throw, and keep identifying it and refining it to try to find the best pattern.
That last pass to Moore looks like it was the same one that Moore one-handed early in the game, right?
It was the same route, a little different relationship between Moore and the defender. The defender was tighter with Evan on the second throw than he was on the first throw.
Neither of those passes were very accurate, is my point. I mean, he had a one-hand to one, and the other one, there was a little window there to get it there, and he didn't get it. Is that a matter of just throwing it too soon, too late, or what?
The second one was pretty tough. He was against a split safety, man-to-man defense. With him that tight, there's only a few spots that you can put in. If you miss, it could be it could be intercepted. So you're either going to hit it or you want to miss it long and straight so that the safeties can't break and get the pick. So, yeah. I mean, it's one of those where, kind of like a fade route, either you want it to be in a spot where the receiver can get it or out of bounds, so you're not giving the safety a chance to get over the top and get the ball.
Get a good evaluation on, you know, sort of an inexperienced quarterback when so many of the skill positions around him are also young and developing?
Well, it's the situation we're in, and the good thing is they are developing, and I think that each week it's gotten a little bit better from that group as well. I think the receivers' routes have improved as we've gone, whether it be guys like Muhammad or Brian or Chancey. Those guys, I think, they've gotten a better feel for how the route should be run, how they work in relationship to the schemes that they're seeing, because it's not the first or second time they've seen a lot of this stuff. now we're getting into repetition. So overall, I'd say their ability to assess what's being done and get to the right spot has improved too.
That defensive package you used to keep Ben in the pocket with lots of linebackers and very few defensive linemen, were there drawbacks that or reasons why you couldn't do that more than just against Pittsburgh?
Well, it changes every week. We've played with more defensive backs in the field than that. We've played with more linebackers in the field than that. It just changes based on matchups. You might want a certain linebacker because his ability is a speed rush. Marcus was a good matchup that we felt in terms of pure speed rush. So that's why he may play. You know, Alex Hall against Cincinnati, game one, we like that matchup against the tackle that we put him against. So some of it is position, some of it is the person against the person.
When you get 8 sacks out of him, I'm just wondering if that would somewhat tempt you to tinker with it more.
Yeah, but some of those sacks, we got Corey got 2, Schaefering got 1.5. I think another D lineman might have chipped in somewhere. So some of those weren't all the linebacker groups. Some of those were the bigger bodies too. Yeah, I think we'll have a better sense, but feel pretty comfortable that he'll be in a spot where he can help us. I think Kenyon's making some strides. I think he's got a real shot this week, which is good.
When you're talking to Randy about the big picture, does the question ever come up, often come up, especially lately, what can this team look like next year? I mean, that's a question every fan you have, is kind of focused on at this point with the playoffs long gone. The question of what can this team look like next year when you're back to 0-0?
Well, I think it's more a function of what you do typically in the offseason, identify what your needs are, what your musts are, being able to look at free agency and free agency in combination with the draft, because you don't know necessarily which free agency you'll be able to get. You don't know which draft picks you'll be able to get, but you're trying to put together the plan for, okay, what do we need to address? How can we best address it? Where do you have the best chance to address that? And sometimes you go in with a plan of how you're going to meet those needs and musts, and it changes. And the key thing is identifying where you want it to be and then working to get that done. Injuries, you don't always factor in for the volume of injuries that we've had this past season. I think it's not typical.
Randy knows that he's feeling pressure to win to satisfy the fans, and he wonders, like everybody else does, can it happen next year? Does it have to be another year of suffering in the building process? Can next year be a decent year?
Well, I mean, I think that I hadn't beaten Pittsburgh in 6 years, and that's over with. So, it's to me, it's a function of continuing to be able to push the things that we're trying to do forward. And to give an exact timeline, I don't think there is an exact timeline. I don't think any situation is the same as the other situation. But you try to accelerate everything as much as you can. We're playing with a lot of young guys. I think that has real value. A guy like Alex Mack will have 16 games under his belt. Muhammad Masakwai, he'll have played a lot of football this year. Robiski, Trusnik, Stuckey, go right on down the line. Kaluka, there's a lot of young guys playing. There's a lot of new guys playing. But the value in that is they get reps. They learn. They are part of the plan. And that helps. It helps accelerate the different things that you're trying to get done.
How much more important is the aspect of getting another win, 2 or 3, under your belt for the foundation building as opposed to having a better draft position?
Yeah, it'll never be looked at in terms of trying to get a better draft position. You never look at it that way. You're trying to win the game that you're playing, and that's that played Kansas City, I think, the last game of the season, 07, and went to overtime. Both teams were fighting like crazy to win the game because that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. You've worked hard that week. You've worked hard up to that point. You want to win.
Eric, has Randy updated you on where the GM search is?
That hasn't really been the focal point of our conversations. So it's more a function of the things we're trying to do week in and week out. But we'll visit some more, and I'm sure we'll see what that is.
What do you think you mentioned about the draft and free agency next year? How do you think an uncapped year is going to change free agency?
I don't know. I think this is all new ground, and it's tough to say. It's really such a new place for everybody that you're going to have to see how it all unfolds. I don't have a good sense of exactly what that'll translate into.
Do you think it'll make it easier to keep players, or the market will be bigger for greed?
I don't know, because I'm not sure. You're not sure how the other 31 teams are going to approach it. You're not sure how it's the agents, the players. It could play out a lot of different ways, and there's no real blueprint to look at to say, okay, this is definitely how it's going to go.
Muhammad was thrust into the role of number one receiver this year. Do you view him as a number one receiver, or do you think you need to get a number one receiver?
I think that a little bit of that is going to depend on his continued development. And oftentimes the second year is very different for a guy than the first year. Everything right now is so new for these guys, and most of them aren't even playing football at this point. Or they're getting ready for a bowl game. It's a pretty big transition for those guys. Coming in the second year, they know the coaches, they know the area, they have a place to live, they're familiar with the system. It's just so much more familiarity, which oftentimes lets them focus on playing as opposed to figuring out where they're going and what they're doing.
Did Dave still have knee surgery?
Dave had surgery a little while ago, so.